This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. All praise is due to Allah, we praise Him. We seek His aid and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of our worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared, and die not except in surrender and submission to your Lord. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah. Fear Him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the divine words of the Almighty Allah, and the best guidance is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters, for all the newly invented matters in religion are heretical innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. After the Battle of Badr, a while after the Battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a group of companions, 10 companions. He sends them in the direction of Mecca to always stay updated as to what Quraysh were up to, because the Muslims were under threat from so many different directions, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed to stay updated with everything that was going on around. So he sent a small group of the companions. It's called in the Arabic language Sariya. Sariya. 10 companions on a mission to find out how things were in Mecca. So as they came to an area called Al-Hada'a, which is very close to Mecca, around 100 kilometers to the north of Mecca, they were spotted by a tribe that was in a state of alliance with Quraysh. They held a grudge against Muslims, Banu Hudayl. And a specific clan of them was called Banu Lihyan. So they spotted these 10 companions, they chased them, about 200 of them, and they caught the 10 companions. The 10 companions took shelter, or they took to the top of a hill, to try and protect themselves, but they were surrounded by the 200 people from Banu Lihyan. They offered them to save their lives if they were to surrender. But the leader of this expedition, Muslim expedition, Asim ibn Thabit, he says, I will not trust the word of someone who doesn't believe in Allah, someone who disbelieves in Allah. لا أعطي ذمتي لكافر. So he fought. And they killed 7 of them by shooting arrows. 3 of them remain and they decide to surrender. After more emphatic, or more word, and more emphasis and reassurance that their lives will be spared. Among them was Khubayb ibn Adi and Ibn Dathina and a third person. As they catch them, they start tying them up. So the third person says that's the beginning of them breaking their promise. I'm not gonna go with them. So he resists and he says, I want to die with my 7 brothers who were already martyred. And he resists violently until they end up killing him. Then they carry Ibn Dathina and Khubayb ibn Adi. They carry them to Mecca and sell them because they were wanted in Mecca. Because Khubayb ibn Adi killed a man from Quraysh, Al-Harith ibn Amr. He killed him in the Battle of Badr. So the family of Al-Harith wanted Khubayb by any price. They had put some money on his head. So Banu Hudayl took the money and they surrendered, or they submitted Khubayb ibn Adi to Quraysh, to that specific family. And it was Al-Ashhur al-Hurum, like Al-Ashhur al-Hurum that we live in, the sacred months where no one is supposed to engage in any kind of war. And the Arabs were observing this. This was one of the remains of the religion of Ibrahim and Ismail, alayhim as-salam. So they put him in captivity until Al-Ashhur al-Hurum are over, and then they would execute him. When he was in captivity, as the sacred months have gone by, he asked for a blade to clean himself, groom himself. He wants to die. If he is going to die, he wants to die in good shape, meet Allah in good shape. So they give him a blade. And one of the toddlers in the house walks up to him and sits on his lap. So he has the blade and he has the toddler, the little child, on his lap. The mother, when she sees her boy in the possession of this man who's going to be killed maybe in a day or two, and the man has got a blade, she panics. He recognizes this and he says, you think I'm going to kill the boy? مَا كُنْتُ لِأَفْعَلَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ I will never do that. Why? Because you can't help Islam. You can't support Islam with the tools and the behaviors of the hypocrites and the people of no morality. Islam is not just a slogan. Islam is not just a nationality. And then, you know, use whatever means possible around you. No, Islam is a way of life. There are principles. There are morals that we hold on to, even in the most difficult situations. We are tied up to a covenant, an agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we observe what He loves, which we call moral. And we abstain from what He dislikes and abhors, and we call this immoral in Islam. So you can't help Islam with deception. You can't help Islam with lying. You can't help Islam or help the cause of Islam with cheating. You can't support Islam with the morality of the foolish and the hypocrites, with backbiting, with slandering. You can't do that. You can't do this. So Khubayb ibn Adi, being mentored by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has this boy, you know, this is an innocent child, and I'm not going to do that. And no Muslim who truly believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this. But you know, the disbelievers, the devils among humanity, they lie against the believers and they accuse them of these things falsely. And it's merely an act of projection. It's an act of deflecting attention from their history, from their atrocities, from their evil, by turning the attention and the spotlight to the believers by creating lies about them. And they still do it until today. So Khubayb ibn Adi doesn't do any harm to the child. He lets the child go. And then they take him outside of Mecca because it's the Haram. So the sacred months are over, but the sacred place, Al-Haram of Mecca, they don't kill people there. So their tradition is that they would take him outside of the boundaries of Mecca and kill him there. So they crucify him, they tie him up to a pole. And before they do this, he says, I just want to pray two rak'ah before I die. So they allow him to make wudu and pray two rak'ah. And guess what? He makes wudu quickly and he prays his two rak'ah very swiftly. And he turns to them, he says, Wallahi, I would love to extend my prayer and enjoy it. But I don't want you to think that I fear death or that I fear you. So he cuts it short. Then they crucify him. And then they start cutting his body one piece at a time to give him a painful death. And he starts reciting some lines of poetry that he speaks, that he says on the spot. And they became famous. And the gist of them is that he says that these people have gathered against me because I follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I obey the command of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, I don't care. Then he says, وَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمًا عَلَىٰ أَيِّ وَجْهٍ كَانَ فِي اللَّهِ مَصْرَعِ. I don't care. If I die as a Muslim, how I die, in what manner I die, it doesn't make a difference as long as I die as someone who believes in Allah. وَلَسْتُ بِمُبْدٍ للعدو تخشعي ولست بمبد للعدو تخشعا ولا جزعا إني إلى الله مرجعي. And he says, I'm not going to show or display to my enemies any sign of weakness or fear. I am returning to my Lord. And he dies with dignity. They even tell him, as they were cutting at his body, would you wish that you were safe and intact with your family and Muhammad was in your place? Would you be happy by that? He says, I would put my life for the sake of the Prophet ﷺ to protect him even from the poke of a thorn or the pain of a thorn poking him. He dies with dignity. He doesn't beg for his safety. He doesn't beg for his life. He doesn't beg for a quick death. He turns himself to Allah. Why? Because he knows his life and his death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Iman offers the believers. That's what reading the Quran, living the Quran, this is what fasting, this is what truly engaging with Islam does. When a person engages fully in this religion, that's what it offers them. And we know in Mecca before that, Bilal radiallahu anhu was taken by Umayyah ibn Khalaf and he was tortured. He was stripped naked and he was dragged in the heat, in the scorching heat of the summer in Mecca. And he was dragged throughout the streets of Mecca, and he would say, Ahadun Ahad. I worship Allah alone. He never begged for his life. He never begged for mercy. Khabbab ibn al-Arat, the same thing. He never begged for mercy. Ammar ibn Yasir never begged for mercy. The Muslims face their predicaments and their trials with dignity and with their heads up, because they know their life and their death is in the hands of Allah. And if something is written for them, it would come to them. And the people of Quraysh had something called Hilful Fudul. That was prior to Islam. And this was an agreement, a social agreement, a political agreement, to help anyone who's oppressed, anyone of the disadvantaged segments of society who was mistreated by some of the elite. More like social justice. None of the companions who were tortured said, where is Hilful Fudul? Why? Because they know that if Allah has written upon you to strive, if Allah has written upon you to go through pain, then you take it with dignity. No one can change that but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. And if Allah tries you with pain and hardship, no one can remove it but Allah. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And if Allah tries you and tests you with ease and with blessings, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do everything. When the Muslims marched to Mecca in the year 8 after Hijrah to take it over, after Quraysh had betrayed the treaty, and the Muslims have arrived in huge numbers and they surrounded Mecca, Abu Sufyan came to know about this. They were taken, people of Quraysh were taken by surprise. Abu Sufyan, the leader of Mecca, the most important person in Mecca, number one in Mecca, and most likely in the Arabian Peninsula among the pagan Arabs. He decides to go and meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and negotiate a good deal. But he needs someone to get him into, through the Muslim camp, the encampment of the Muslims, into the area where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, without being attacked by anyone. So one of the companions, A'id ibn Amr al-Muzani, takes Abu Sufyan to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As they were approaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of the companions were with him, one of those companions says, this is Abu Sufyan and A'id ibn Amr. They're approaching us, they come in here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, هذا عائذ بن عمر وأبو سفيان الإسلام يعلو ولا يعلى عليه. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, this is عائذ ibn Amr and Abu Sufyan. Islam comes first. The Prophet ﷺ, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, من كان يريد العزة فلله العزة جميعا. He who wants dignity and honor, then dignity and honor is the possession of Allah Himself. It belongs to Allah. And Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And to Allah belong dignity and honor. And to the Messenger, and to the believers, because Allah gives it to them. So dignity is one of the most beautiful traits of Islam and a Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, لَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يُذِلَّ نَفْسَهُ. A believer is not allowed to humiliate himself or herself. So if something is written upon you, something is written upon me, something is written upon us, let's take it with dignity. Why? Because when there is La ilaha illallah in the heart, not for the sake of yourself, for the sake of La ilaha illallah, never put your head down. Never put your head down. And izzah, honor and dignity in Islam, is not necessarily tied up
to being dominant and being in a position of power. These are the definitions that we have adopted blindly from non-Muslim sources. And then we try to understand Islam. And we try to understand the Quran through these confused definitions. And that's part of our problem. We say, why doesn't Allah help the Muslims? The believer, even when they are dying, even when they are persecuted, even when they are overpowered, they are always have the izzah. They always have the dignity. And they don't put their head down. Because dignity comes from embracing the truth and not giving up on it. Because izzah and honor can only be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we confuse izzah with power. And when we see things as and process things in the world as people who don't believe in Allah, when we process the world the same way they process it, we get confused. We become confused just like they are. And we misinterpret the Quran. And we start to have expectations about Allah that are not true. And we miss out on the true izzah. There is a feeling of izzah that cannot be broken. The Prophet ﷺ had it in Mecca and in Medina. The companions, radiallahu anhum, when they were tortured, they had it in Mecca. And later on in Medina, even when they were killed, and even in some instances when they were defeated, they were still the uppermost. But that's a language that can only be understood by a heart that has savored the Quran, that lives with the Quran, that lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that aligns everything in its life around Allah being the ultimate priority. This is a language that cannot be understood by a heart that is attached to this life. And these are things that we need to understand. Islam is not an empty slogan. The Quran is not meaningless words. The Quran is not a nationality that just holds us together under the name, but the reality of it, the truth of it, the principles of it, the lifestyle of it, the beliefs of it. And Muslims pay the price today because we don't live up to the standards of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. الحسن البصري رحمه الله تعالى says, فإنهم وإن هملجت بهم البراذين وتقطقت بهم البغال فإن ذل المعصية في وجوههم أبى الله إلا أن يذل من عصاه. حسن البصري was talking about some people who were associated, who had power at his time, who had power, but and they were people of bid'ah, people of innovation, people who changed the religion, and they sought to undermine Islam from inside. He said, these people, even in their luxury and in their official convoys and the respect and the aura around them, you will find that the humiliation of disobeying Allah is apparent on their face. Allah refuses but to bring humiliation to those who disobey Him. This is something that can only be seen with the light of Iman. So these people were powerful in society. They were dominant, they were rich, they were resourceful. Yet Al-Hasan al-Basri could see in their face the humiliation and the lowliness of their life and of their heart, because they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, just look at the dignity of a believer. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, not just like the Muslims today are learning from other minorities who used manipulation, who used victimhood and immoral tactics to gain the upper hand in society and in the legal system. Muslims are looking at that and say, we can do the same. You have higher standards. We have higher standards. We don't use manipulation. We follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ. And we are supposed to deal with whatever Allah brings into our life with dignity. So Sa'id ibn Jubayr, the greatest of a tabi'een, the one who studied with Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhum, when he was brought before Al-Hajjaj to be killed, Al-Hajjaj wanted to kill him, Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. So he says to him, what's your name? He says, Sa'id ibn Jubayr. I'm Sa'id ibn Jubayr. He says, Kadabt. Anta Ta'is ibn Kusayr. Because Sa'id means happy. He says, no, you are miserable. Ibn Jubayr means someone who's intact. He says, no, you are the miserable, the son of the broken. He says, my mother named me, she knows my name. He could have just said, yes, your majesty, right? Just like most people do. Then he said to him, اختر ميتتك فإني قاتلك. He says, choose your death. Which way you want to die, because I'm going to kill you now. قال اختر أنت لنفسك فإن من ورائك القصاص. والله ما قتلتني قتلة إلا قتلك الله شرا منها يوم القيامة. He said, no, you choose for yourself, because Allah, you will meet justice with Allah. You kill me in a way, Allah will kill you in a worse, more painful way on the Day of Judgment. That's the dignity of a believer. He says, إِنِّي مُعَجِّلٌ بِكَ إِلَى النَّارِ. Al-Hajjaj says to him, I'm going to send you now to the hellfire. He says to him, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ النَّارَ بِيَدِكَ لَعَبَدْتُكَ. He says, had I known that the hellfire is in your hand, I would have worshipped you. I would have worshipped you. That's the dignity of a believer. You're gonna suffer. You're gonna go through pain. Don't give up your dignity. Because if something is written, it's gonna come to you. If something is not written, it's not gonna come to you. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As believers, we don't follow the tactics of those immoral people who manipulate the system, or, you know, do their campaigns and use their, you know, their deceptive ways and their subtle ways. No, as a believer, we do the right thing. We don't manipulate. We speak the truth and we stand up with dignity. Because Islam is one piece. You can't just choose some and leave some. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guard our hearts and to protect our izzah and to keep us upright and to keep our heads high with iman and faith, and to help us put our trust in Him. And the izzah, just to close, and bear with me a little bit. If we want izzah, izzah is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do what Allah wants from you, Allah will give you izzah. That's it. When you are obedient to Allah, Allah will give you izzah. When the believer does what Allah wants and you put what Allah wants before what you want, then Allah will give you izzah. When you obey Allah, even when your desire is pulling in on the other side, you do what Allah wants, Allah will give you izzah. When Muslims respect one another and stop backstabbing each other, whether groups, whether ethnicities, whether even members of the same family, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have good intentions for your brothers and for your sisters. Love them for the sake of Allah. If you don't want to love them, at least don't harm them. Don't do damage. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect the izzah of this ummah and will take care of this ummah. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna 'ala al qawmi al kafirin. Allahumma aghfir lana ma asrarna wa ma a'lanna wa ma anta a'lamu bihi minna. Allahumma abrim li hadhihi al ummati amra rushd يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويعمل فيه بكتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم كل المسلمين في كل مكان، في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي الشام وفي السودان وفي كشمير وفي الهند وفي الصين وفي غيرها من بلاد المسلمين، اللهم كن لهم ناصرا ومعينا. اللهم أصلح أحوالهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.